Everybody doing good today? Yeah, about a third of you? Okay, well, maybe in the next few minutes it'll get better, I hope. Hey, I'm glad you're here today. So good to see you. It's going to be a busy, busy week here at the Bridge Church, Friday and then Sunday. And as Pastor Zach mentioned, we got three services next Sunday morning. I want to just share something from my heart. Second service on Easter, when we do three services, second service is always a jam service because a lot of people who don't normally go to church but decide, well, Easter Sunday, I'm going to go to church, they tend to show up at second service. So second service will be really, really packed. If you want to get involved in real ministry, come to first service or third service. Make seats, because I'm going to tell you something. There'll be people who come to that service who don't normally come to church who need to hear the message, and I promise you, people are going to receive Jesus next Sunday, and it might help if you can make a little adjustment with your schedule. And I know for some of you, you can't do it. I get it. But if you can, please do that. Next Sunday is going to be a great day, as well as Good Friday services. I'm looking forward to all of it. I want to dive into God's Word. If you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to Matthew chapter 3. We'll be reading there in a few minutes. We've been talking about His presence, God's presence in our lives. When Jesus was born, and actually before He was born, the angel announced that His name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was God in flesh and bone bodies just like us. He was God in the flesh. And yet we hear the teaching that God is everywhere. God is what they say, omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time. How is that? Well, it's because God is spirit. Jesus said God is spirit. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. But I want you to notice something with me. In the introduction to this message, as we conclude this three-week series, Jesus prepared His disciples for His leaving. He was going to go to the cross. He was going to die. He was going to be raised from the dead. And then about 40 days later, He was going to ascend back to the Father. So Jesus is preparing His disciples, not just for the sorrow of His leaving, but He's preparing them to continue the work that He started. He's preparing them to build the church of Jesus Christ, of which we are a part today. So Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 7, He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper," speaking of the Spirit of God, "the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you." Every Sunday morning in our services, as we begin to praise and worship and honor God and we begin to sing, you sense the presence of God because God always inhabits the praise of His people. And we sense God in the house, but what we sense is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. That is the presence of God that we sense. But as a pastor studying God's Word, I'm very much aware that a lot of people aren't really aware that the Holy Spirit is always wanting to work in our lives. If He lives in us, He wants to work in us. So we're doing this brief three-week series to introduce you who've not really been introduced to the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And in this series, the first week, we talked about the fact that the Spirit of God comes to work for us. He comes to work for us to bring us into relationship with God, and then when we've accepted Christ as our Savior, He actually lives in us. He brings us new life. He gives us spiritual birth, and He lives inside of us. And then the second week, we talked about the fact that the Spirit of God comes to work in us. He brings the nature and the character of God into us, and it begins to change the way we do life. He motivates us by God's character and nature rather than us being motivated by our old sinful fallen nature. Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit that is developed by the Spirit of God in us. And what that does is it helps us navigate life with God and life with people. But today I want to go to the third part of this series. The Spirit of God also comes to work through us. He comes to work through us. Now, I'm going to condense a whole lot of teaching into about 30 minutes this morning. So I'm going to move fast. So listen and tie your hearts around this today. I want to begin with the story. Close to 25 years ago, I went through a very difficult, traumatic time in my own life. I had resigned the church where I was pastoring. I was looking at entering into some ministry overseas in other countries. A lot of things in life had been turned upside down. A lot of things happened, a lot of circumstances outside of my control. And even after 20-some years in ministry, I was having to figure out, what do I do? How do I move on from here? What does my future really look like? It was a difficult season for me. But as I was seeking to figure out what was next, one night I went to a church service, and a guest speaker was there who had been brought in from another state across the country. I'd never heard of the man, didn't know anything about him. He didn't know me. I wasn't involved as leadership in the service. I was just participating as a worshiper as you are today. He shared a great message talking about God's Spirit at work in our lives and some ways that he works. When he finished, he said, I want to minister for a few minutes to some people. I want to pray for some people. This guy immediately looked down at me sitting on the second row and called me out and said, come here, stand up, I'm going to pray for you. So I walked up. This guy spent 13 minutes reading my mail. I've got a tape recording of it. How many remember cassette tapes? I've got one of those. 13 minutes. He read my mail. And let me tell you what he did. He talked about where I had been and where I was. It was a word that God gave him. He never met me. He didn't know anything about me. But the Spirit of God gave him a word of knowledge, understanding, knowing where I was and what had happened to me. Then he began to talk about how I move forward from this place that I was in. He began to give me words of wisdom from God of how I would navigate the next few months. Then the third thing he did, he began to talk about my future. And he began to talk about things that God had put in my heart for the future. But he also began to talk about things that were not in my heart that later on, years later, came to pass. What he did was he gave me prophecy about the things that God had for my future. And I'm going to tell you something. It was a life-changing experience for me because I was broken, I was hurting, I was hanging on, and all of a sudden I was lifted up because I realized God sent this guy halfway across the country to tell me not to give up. Here's how you go forward, and here's what I'm going to do in your future. It was amazing. It was amazing. Now, let me ask you a question. Has God ever done something amazing in your life when you needed it? Has God ever sent someone your way to give you words, to pray for you, to give you encouragement? Has God ever worked a miracle in your life when you didn't know how to move forward? Let me ask one more question. Wouldn't it be great if God would use us to encourage somebody else who was broken and hurting? Wouldn't it be great if God would use us as vessels of ministry to pour into their lives, to help change their lives and bring healing and restoration to them? It'd be a great thing. That's what we're going to talk about today. Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 11. I want you to follow along with me. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screen. This is the story, just one verse of it, of John the Baptist, who is speaking to a group of people. Jesus is about to come his way. He's going to baptize Jesus. But notice what happens first as he speaks. Matthew 3, verse 11. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. Notice what he says. He will baptize you. See, John says, I'm baptizing you in water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, John the Baptist was what was called the forerunner to Jesus. He was sent by God to prepare the stage for Jesus, and he had the privilege of introducing Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to the world. And in his everyday ministry, he's talking about the Messiah who would come. And he says, I'm baptizing you in water, but he's going to baptize you in a different way with the very Spirit of God. He said, believers will have the Spirit come upon them in the same way that water comes upon you when I bury you in the water. That's what John said. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you follow these next few verses and chapters in the story in the different Gospels, here's some things that we learn about Jesus. John said he will baptize you with the Spirit of God. But when Jesus began his ministry, he came to John, he was baptized in water, and when he came up out of the water, the Word tells us in Luke chapter 3 that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus bodily in the form of a dove. The Spirit of God came upon him. And all of a sudden, listen to this, the Scripture tells us that Jesus was empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, I want to play with some of your minds for just a minute and maybe even some of your theology. Can I tell you something? As far as we know, Jesus was about 30 years of age and he had never worked a miracle. But now the Spirit of God comes upon him and his time has come and his ministry begins. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God came upon him. Luke chapter 4 tells us that Jesus was then filled with the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit. Get it? Filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he's tested for 40 days and 40 nights. And then after those 40 days, he comes out of the wilderness. He has overcome the temptations. And Scripture says he is still in the power of the Spirit. And he begins his ministry and word begins to spread about who he is and what he is. Then in Luke chapter 4, and I'm giving you some history here, but it's important, so stay with me. Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes to Nazareth, the town where he'd been raised, where he grew up. He walks into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. They give him the book of Isaiah, and Jesus begins to read. And I want you to listen to these words, because Jesus gave us his mission statement. See, almost every church has a mission statement. This is what God has sent us to do. At the Bridge Church, we're here to connect people with God, connect people with people. When that happens, more people get connected to God and more people get connected with people. And it grows and it goes and it grows and it goes and it keeps repeating itself. That's our mission statement. That's what God's called us to do. But Jesus had the Spirit of God come upon him and he had a mission to accomplish. And he described his mission. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me." When they anointed you in the Old Testament, they didn't just put a little dab on you. They poured the whole bottle on top of your head. Jesus said, "He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, listen to me very closely for just a moment. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, he brings purpose into your life. Jesus said, "The Spirit of God is now upon me because he is upon me for his purposes, and here is what my ministry is going to accomplish." Then the next 3 years, Jesus did ministry before he went to the cross, and all of his ministry was characterized by miraculous things. If you've read the Gospels, you know about it. Healings, people raised from the dead, amazing things happening, demons being cast out. Jesus did it all. His ministry was miraculous. But as Jesus came down to the end of his ministry, he began to prepare his disciples for his leaving. He said, I'm going away. You're sorrowful, not just because I'm leaving, but because I've been doing the ministry and you've just kind of been following along helping. It's all about to change because I'm going back to the Father. But when I go, I will send another comforter. I will send God's Spirit to you. He'll be with you and in you. And here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And these signs will follow them who believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. What Jesus said to his followers was, when I leave here, I will build my church, but the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you will continue to do ministry as I have done ministry. You will continue to do ministry. My church, my people will do ministry as I have done ministry. You know, the different gospels record the last words of Jesus a little bit differently. Luke 24 says it this way. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Stay in the city of Jerusalem until the Spirit of God comes upon you and you are empowered to do the ministry to which I've called you. Several days later, Jesus was crucified. He arose from the dead. About 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father. 10 days later came the day of Pentecost. And all of a sudden, on the day of Pentecost, amazing things began to happen. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance or the ability. Now, I want you to follow me for a minute. When the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, he began to do miraculous things. Jesus said the power that was upon him would be upon us. And John the Baptist said, Jesus is the one who will baptize you in the Spirit. Just as I baptized you in water, Jesus will baptize you with the Spirit. So the Spirit of God was promised to believers. But what we have to understand is the Spirit of God comes with purpose. It doesn't just come for our pleasure. It doesn't just come to make us feel good about ourselves. The Spirit of God comes upon us with power for His purposes. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out for the first time upon the church, there were about 120 people in a prayer meeting in an upper room. They'd been praying off and on for about 10 days, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. They didn't know how He was coming. They didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus didn't tell them how it was going to come about. But suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a mighty wind. Suddenly, these cloven tongues of fire begin to appear, and we don't really see it anywhere else in Scripture. But as it set upon them, it says they all began to speak in other tongues. Now listen closely to me. It's very important if you've never been taught this. Whenever you see the word tongues in the New Testament, it almost always is interpreted from a word that means a language that you didn't naturally know. A language that you did not naturally acquire. So all of a sudden, these 120 people begin to speak in languages they don't even know. We don't know how it happened, but somehow it spilled out into the streets. And at that time of the year, because it was the Feast of Pentecost, believers, Jewish believers from all over the world had come to Jerusalem for this celebration. They came from different nations. They spoke different languages. And all of a sudden, these people come out into the streets and they start talking to them in their own languages. And these people are amazed because they're hearing these Jews from Israel speak in languages which they knew they did not naturally acquire. But here's the thing. What were they saying? They were praising God and talking about the amazing works of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When this happened, the people in the streets are confused. They're trying to figure this out. What does this mean? What's happening here? Some people laugh at them and say, these people are all drunk. They're crazy. But people who are listening know they're not crazy. They're speaking to me in my language. Peter gets up and shares a message. And when he gets finished speaking, 3,000 people come forward and say, we believe in Jesus. We will start this church. You see, here's what people miss. People misunderstand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon us to enable us to minister to people as Jesus did beyond our natural abilities. That's the purpose of this baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's more to it. I don't have time to go through all of it today. But I want everybody to understand God wants to work for us. He wants to work in us. But he also wants to work through us to touch other people's lives. Did you know God wants you doing the work of the ministry? Not all of it, but some piece of it. God wants you to be involved. And this baptism, this was not about people doing weird things. It was about God doing something wonderful, supernatural, miraculous. And it spilled into the streets. But at the end of the day, it all turned into a harvest of souls and people coming to Jesus. That's the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism upon our lives. It's God using us to bring other people into his kingdom. Now, if you read through the book of Acts, you say, well, that Acts chapter 2 thing, that's really different, and I don't really understand that, so I'm going to move on. Well, you find in Acts chapter 8, a very similar thing happened in Samaria. You find Acts chapter 10, a very similar thing happened in the house of Cornelius in the city of Caesarea among a group of Italian people. You also find that later on, Paul in his missionary journeys went to a place called Ephesus in another country. And we see a similar outpouring of the Holy Spirit right there among those people. God was pouring out his Spirit upon his people, and the power of the Holy Spirit produced amazing works of ministry. Amazing works of ministry. Now I want to talk for a couple of minutes about the purpose of this power. I've touched on it. But I want to dial in a little bit more. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. As it's recorded here, this is a part of the last conversation Jesus had with his followers. And he says to them to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. But in verse number 8 of Acts 1, he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The purpose of this anointing of the Spirit upon our lives, this baptism, is to make us witnesses to the power and ministry of Jesus. He's still alive. He's still working in people's lives today. Jesus never intended to have a powerless church, but rather he intended to have a church that ministers to hurting, needy people just as he did. Now, I told you I'm going to jam a lot of teaching into 30 minutes, but I want to show you something for 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Jesus has finished his ministry. He's ascended back to the Father. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. The church is growing. And now ministers are beginning to go around the world with the gospel. Paul is probably the most prominent. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes these words. Verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit. Pause here a minute. A manifestation means an act, something that's produced by. So what the Holy Spirit produces, its manifestations. He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, I've been going really fast. Let's slow down for a minute. Everybody take a deep breath. God wants you to be a part of what His Spirit is doing in the earth. Everything God is doing in the earth today, He's doing it by His Spirit through people. Some of you maybe haven't been taught this. He's doing it by His Spirit through people. And Paul said, God wants everybody to be involved in this. All believers, He wants us to have this baptism on our lives to minister. He goes on to say in verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith. It means miraculous faith. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. The Spirit of God is given to all of us to minister God's gifts to other people. If you go back and read in 1 Corinthians 14, first verse, Paul says, we should all desire spiritual gifts. That's me. That's you. We should all desire spiritual gifts so that we in the body of Christ can minister to one another and to other hurting people. And you know, the work of the Holy Spirit has been used in so many ways in so many different churches, and oftentimes we miss the point. It's not to create a club that say, we do this and you don't, so we're here, or you do this and you don't, so you're over there. God did not pour out His Spirit upon us to separate us. He did so to unite us, that all of us could have a place in ministry. You know, I taught this, I don't know, a year or two ago, that God calls us into His family. And then He puts us in His church, which is His family business. And then He gives each one of us a place in that family business, a place of ministry. And God wants to use you, but before He can use you the way He wants, you have to pray the prayer, God, baptize me in Your Spirit. Let Your Spirit come upon me so I'm empowered to do ministry as Jesus did. It's not just for the pastor on the platform. Well, I don't know that I can get up there and do that. He probably doesn't need you to do that. We already got a couple pastors here. But He does need you to be open to delivering gifts to people. And you know, I know how classic Pentecostals think. Well, I have this gift, or I have this gift, or I have this gift. Can I tell you something? If you got a gift, you missed the point. You don't need the gift. You need to be delivering the gift. All you are is the pizza delivery boy. You don't eat the pizza, you pass it on to the person who needs it. Hello? Am I on? I know that some of you, you've not heard this before. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to do ministry as Jesus did. And Paul said, when we have open hearts for that, God will begin to use us in amazing ways. Now let me take what Paul said. He mentioned 9 specific gifts. I'm going to break them into 3 categories. Talk about them for just a minute here. Paul said, sometimes you're talking to somebody and suddenly you just know something. The Spirit of God just drops something in you and you know something that you didn't know before that nobody else taught you. I talked about the guy that ministered to me that night 20-some years ago. There's been many times when I've been talking with someone and all of a sudden I just sensed inside of me, and I start talking to the person and start talking about what I'm sensing, and they say, wow, how'd you know that? It's not some weird, crazy thing. It's the Spirit of God opening a door and opening someone's heart to minister to them. It is a word of knowledge. I know something that I didn't know about you. And once I share that, a person's eyes open up and their heart opens up and they begin to say, well, how'd you know that? It's just like Jesus meeting the woman at the well. He begins to read her mail and talk about her past and where she is presently. And when He gets finished, suddenly she knows this is the Son of God. People know there's something different about you when the Spirit of God drops a knowing gift that you share with someone. There's also the word of wisdom. Some of you have experienced this. You've been with someone, and all of a sudden they're telling you their problems, and it's like, well, I don't know what to do. And you're like, well, I don't know what to do either. And all of a sudden, God just drops something in your heart and says, hey, you know what? I believe you need to do this. That's the Spirit of God giving us wisdom for that situation in that moment. God wants to use us to do that kind of thing. And then there's discerning of spirits, where you suddenly know there's an evil spirit at work here. Or the Spirit of God is working here. I sense God's Spirit. Some people have the ability to know when God is working. It's a gift from God. But then there are power gifts. One of the power gifts is a supernatural faith. Now, everybody has faith. Scripture says that God's given all of us a measure of faith. But not everybody has measure of faith to go out and speak to mountains and say, you need to move, and you watch it just fall out of the way. Jesus said we would do that. But I want you to listen to me for a moment. Sometimes people get into situations and an impossibility arises, and we need God to intervene and change the course of nature. We hear stories all the time about soup kitchens in inner cities where people are dishing out food to people who are homeless and in need, and all of a sudden so many people come that they're running out of food and they're down to the bottom of the pan, and they just start praying saying, God, you got to do something, we're running out of food. And suddenly they just keep dishing and dishing and dishing, and more food just keeps coming and coming and coming. That's a miracle. Supernatural faith brings that our way. There's also gifts of healings. You know what? I hear people sometimes say, God doesn't do that anymore. Got news for you. Happens all the time around here. We constantly hear stories from our prayer team, from people in small groups, people across the church, of healings that God has brought into people's lives because somebody prayed with them a prayer of faith and God is healed. God still heals today, but he's looking for vessels who will extend healing hands into people's lives. We need to be those vessels. God still works miracles. Then there are speaking gifts, prophecy, speaking into someone's life, and all of a sudden you just realize, you know what? I just feel like God's getting ready to do this in your life the next few days. Sometimes when I'm preaching, doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes when I'm preaching, God will give me a word and I'll just say it out and say, I don't know who you are, but God's saying this today. Sometimes I'll call you out and tell you exactly who it is. It's just the Spirit of God giving us prophetic word about what's about to come to pass in someone's life. And then there's tongues. There's interpretation of tongues for groups of believers who are together praying and believing. These gifts God uses to minister to people in supernatural ways. They're not to exalt us. They're not to make us look special. They're to honor God and glorify God. And really, they're there to put people's broken lives back together again. And God wants to use us to minister beyond our natural abilities. But what we read in these verses is the Spirit distributes the gifts as he wills. He distributes as he wills. He chooses who he will use to deliver God's gift into people's lives. We simply have to be willing to deliver the gifts. Many of you in this room today, you can raise a hand and say, I'm a product of somebody coming and sharing God's gift with me. God says, once the Spirit of God moves in us, begins to work for us, he begins to change us from the inside out. But then there's a baptism beyond the baptism of water, beyond the baptism of being baptized in the body of Christ. There is a baptism that Jesus performs when he pours his Spirit upon us and empowers us for miraculous ministry. I wish I had another 15 minutes. I don't have it. I've seen some crazy, amazing things in my life. And it's not just come through pastors. It's not just come through people who've been walking with God for 40 years. I've seen new believers trusting God, believing God, do some amazing things because the Spirit of God worked on them and through them. And God is saying to the Bridge Church today, I want to work through you. I want to touch your family, your neighbors, your friends. I want to touch your world. So open your heart and receive my Spirit. let me work through you. As I close today, there's a story in Acts 19. I referred to it a few minutes ago. Paul arrives at Ephesus, and he begins to talk with this group of believers. And he asks them the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And the whole conversation evolves, and they basically said, well, we haven't even heard anything about this. You know, I'm sure there are some people in this place today, there are some people watching online, you've never heard teaching about the baptism of the Spirit coming upon us and God using us to minister to people. But Paul said, have you heard? Have you responded? Have you received? The word received means not did you just stand back and God do something. It means did you reach up and take what God was extending to you? It's the same word that's used when we receive Christ as our Savior, when we receive salvation. It takes an act of our faith that we reach up and say, God, I want what you have for me today. In closing, I would dare say that for most of you in this building, the Spirit of God's been working for you. Those same people, the Spirit of God has been working in you. The question is, are we willing to let the Spirit of God work through us? Will we let Jesus baptize us with his Spirit and power to do the works of Jesus? I want to pray today. And I'm going to ask everybody to stand. We're not quite finished, so please don't anybody leave yet. Everybody stand. I want to pray for you today. This is what I want to do. I simply want to see people who say, God, whatever you want to do through me, I don't understand it. I don't know how this all works, but I want you to pour your Spirit upon me, baptize me, begin to work through me. It's not your job to baptize yourself. It's your job to receive what Christ wants to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask you to wrap your heart around this prayer. Just open your heart right there where you are. With your eyes closed, some of you, if you're comfortable, you can raise your hands. If you just want to close your eyes and pray there, that's fine. But pray this with me. Father, I come to you today and I desire you to pour your Spirit upon my life. God, just as you did in the Scripture, just as Jesus promised, just as we've seen in other people's lives, I ask you to baptize me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pour your Spirit upon me as you choose, as you desire. Anoint me for your purposes and let me have that power to be used by you. God, I surrender my will. I surrender my desires and all of my goals and purposes. And I just say, use me. Pour your Spirit on me and use me as you choose. For I submit to you today and I receive what you have in Jesus' name. While heads are still bowed for one more moment, if you would, let's just worship God for a moment. Father, we worship you today, and we open our hearts to you to receive. We've asked in faith, and now, Father, we just say, pour your Spirit upon us. Pour your Spirit upon us. Let us see the work of your Spirit in this moment, in this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, day after day. Let your Spirit be poured upon our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. For one more moment, while heads are still bowed, you might be in the building today, you might be watching online, and you've listened to this, and you've wondered, does God really love me too? Friend, I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been, God loves you so much, he put his own Son on the cross to pay for your sins. And he's asking you today to acknowledge that and receive Christ as your Savior. To wash away the past and give you a brand new life. You're wondering, can God really live in me? Absolutely. Can God really work in me? Absolutely. Can he change me? Absolutely. Can he use me? Absolutely. But as God knocks on your heart right now and you sense the presence of God, he needs you to say, yes, I want you and I need you in my life. So I'm going to pray one more prayer. I'm going to ask everybody in the room to pray this with me right out loud. You don't need to scream the words, but it'll help those around you as we pray. Pray this with me. Say, God, I need you. I surrender my life to you. Give me a new life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I choose Jesus as my Savior. I want Jesus to become the Lord of my life. So teach me your ways, and I will follow you. From this moment forward, you are my Father, and I'm your child. Thank you for loving me and calling me. I will follow you. Amen. Amen. Now here's the thing as we finish service today, a couple of things. It's very important as you pray for God to just baptize you in His Spirit, it's very important you stay open and aware of His presence, because God's going to begin to do amazing things in your life. But if you just prayed that other prayer for the first time and you've asked Jesus into your heart, it's the greatest decision you can ever make. But it's not the end of the journey, it's just the beginning. We want to help you start that journey. We've got a little booklet, a simple tool called The Next 7 Days. We want to give it to you. It'll help you, just a little bit of reading for the next week to help you understand more of God's love and more of His plan for your life. We want to give it to you. When service is over, we'll have prayer teams at the front of the building. You can just walk up to one of these teams and say, hey, can I get the booklet? No strings attached. If you've got questions, they can help you. If you want prayer for something else, they'll help you. If you're in a really big rush today, out in our lobby, there is our info center. You can stop by the info center, ask for the booklet. They'll give you the booklet there. If you can't remember the name, don't worry about that. Just say, can I get the booklet? They'll know what you need. We want to help you get started walking with God. Can we put our hands together and welcome new believers into God's family today? Very last thing. Week by week, we always make giving a part of our worship. You're not giving to me, you're not giving to the pastors, you're giving to God's work when you give. From time to time, we do teach about giving, but every week, we like to pause and just say thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We're literally touching lives in our community and around the world through different ministry partners. You're part of that. The beautiful thing is, as we worship God with our giving, He blesses our lives and pours His blessing over and over again back into us. So there's a number of different ways you can give. If you've got a physical gift you want to give today, there are envelopes in the back of the chairs. There are giving stations on each side of the exit tunnel right here. There's also one in the children's check-in area. Drop in your gift there. Give as you choose. God bless you for your faithfulness today. Hey, are you going to be ready for Easter this coming week? Good Friday services, Easter next Sunday. God bless you. Have a great week.